Welcome to the situation update for Friday, March 3rd, 2023. That's right. Mike Adams here. Thanks for joining me. Just going to do a little short segment in the studio here to tell you what's coming up and some of the demonstrations that are coming up. We have here a physics demonstration device. It's called Euler's Disk. And we're going to be showing this to you in a very unique way with conservation of momentum. Just give a little shot, but I'm not going to spoil it for you. You're going to have to watch that later. That's coming up here on the show. In addition, I'm going to be showing you how I use agricultural ivermectin. You may not choose to do this as your choice, but I use agricultural ivermectin here. Oops, there it is. With a pipette, and I'm going to show you how to use a pipette. I'll talk about the disclaimers and so on, but I use this myself, and I'm going to show you how I use it and put it in my smoothie here today. And we'll talk about microliters and milliliters and disclaimers and things like that. And then in addition, we're going to talk about now this new United Nations, WHO, World Health Treaty that is supposed to be legally compelling every jurisdiction in the United States to be ordered around by the WHO or the World Health Organization, you know, slave masters. And we're going to go into more details about that off camera and talk about freedom. I got a special report for you about also Ford filing a patent that would allow them to remotely disable your car if you stop making payments. And they can also use that in cases of martial law. So they can shut down your vehicle anytime they wish. One more reason not to buy an electric vehicle. So all of that is coming up and much more straight ahead here on the Situation Update podcast. I do want to show you what we have in stock right now at the Health Ranger store. Our products on the side here, we've got freeze-dried broccoli sprouts in the canisters there. And then we've got them in capsules. And then we've got the Iosat pills there, which are potassium iodide. That's FDA approved for preventing thyroid damage after radiation. And we've got the nascent iodine tinctures there. And plus a lot of other mega buckets, mini buckets, and ranger buckets as well. So we are finally caught up on inventory. Everything's in stock, ready for you at healthrangerstore.com. And it should be a really fun show today. A lot of stuff coming your way, so stay tuned. We will continue off video. Mike Adams here with the situation update, and then we'll bring back the demonstrations on video that I promise you. So there's been a lot of news about the World Health Organization and its new global pandemic, quote, treaty, which isn't really a treaty. It's not going to be ratified by two-thirds of the U.S. Senate. They just call it a treaty. They're just gaslighting everybody into thinking that it has, you know, the enforcement of the rule of law behind it when it actually does not. But what this is designed to do is to place the entire world under a globalist medical dictatorship. That's what it is. And under this new so-called treaty, and by the way, I've interviewed Dr. Francis Boyle about this treaty, and he told me that it contains language that would usurp all local power. It would, in other words, override counties, cities, states, and nations. It would order every local doctor to do what the WHO tells them to do. It would order every hospital to follow the commands of the WHO. And by the way, the same WHO that completely lied to the world, that fabricated massive fraud surrounding the pandemic, you know, the COVID plandemic, we should call it. The WHO is a criminal front for really, I think, two things. Number one, pharmaceutical profits, and number two, global depopulation and enslavement of the human race. In other words, if they kill you, well, that's their top goal. If they don't kill you, they want to enslave you. But the way they kill you is by first enslaving you and forcing you to take injections, mRNA injections, which are designed with exotic technology in order to achieve depopulation and infertility and who knows what else, you know, with the self-assembling nanostructures and conductive clots and things like that. I mean, who knows what's in there? But the timing of all of this is, I mean, it's so obvious. With Bill Gates and Fauci and others saying, oh, watch out, another great global pandemic is coming. It's right around the corner. Yeah, because they're going to, you know, launch it. They've got Fauci's freezer full of other
you know, biohazard specimens and biological weapons. And you know, the Pentagon and the DOD have been working feverishly on other biological weapons, strains, and gain-of-function research in the 24+ biolabs that are located in Ukraine, which is one of the main reasons why the United States is fighting so hard to, quote, defend Ukraine. It's not about defending the Ukrainian people. It's about, you know, protecting the illegal bioweapons gain-of-function labs that exist in Ukraine. So the plan is they'll take these new bioweapons that they developed in Ukraine or perhaps with the People's Liberation Army in China, you know, another Wuhan special, and they'll release them on the world. And this may have already happened, by the way, or it could be happening soon. And then with controlling the media and, of course, censoring anyone who disagrees, they will push out this massive fear propaganda, you know, COVID part two, or it's not going to be called COVID, but who knows, like, you know, Ebola, AIDS-bola, bird flu-bola, or whatever, you know, hemorrhagic fever of some kind, Marburg-bola. Anyway, whatever it is, they're going to push it out there, and it's going to be far worse than COVID ever was, and they're going to have all kinds of footage of, you know, people bleeding out of their eyeballs and so on. Look, oh my God. And they're going to say vaccine mandates. And any local jurisdiction that says, oh, hell no, they're going to invoke the WHO. So when DeSantis stands up and says, no, we're not going to follow these insane mandates, and also you're not going to mutilate the genitalia of our children in the state of Florida, well, the Biden administration is going to invoke the WHO, quote, treaty. They're going to say, oh, well, the feds will say, we signed a treaty with the WHO. You are required to push mandatory vaccines because this pandemic is so much worse. You know, good thing we signed a treaty, you know, for public safety and all that. And by the way, part of this public treaty is that the WHO can order local law enforcement to go round people up who are unvaccinated and throw them into what will essentially be death camps, but they'll call them isolation camps, you know, for your own safety. But they'll be death camps. And anybody who resists at the government level, let's say the governor of Florida, DeSantis, if he resists, the federal government will invoke this treaty and potentially start sending federal, shall we say, troops or federal law enforcement. I mean, I don't know exactly what the makeup would be. Maybe federal marshals, maybe they would try to arrest Governor DeSantis. Or maybe they would, I don't know, invoke the military and say, you know, forget about posse comitatus and just throw the military into Florida and start arresting the Florida governor's administration and anybody who's unvaccinated or anybody who speaks out against vaccines, whatever. The federal government is going to weaponize this treaty under Biden, who himself is, you know, a weapon against America. And they're going to go after all their political opponents, and they're going to have a widespread censorship. They're going to declare, you know, another big emergency. They might even use that to achieve gun confiscation. They'll probably roll out false flags of, quote, anti-vaxxers committing acts of violence. You know, the same violence that's totally okay, I guess, when BLM does it or when Antifa does it, but it'll be, quote, anti-vaxxers throwing Molotov cocktails, and then they'll say, oh, they're all terrorists. You know, you can see where this is going. The point is, they needed this WHO treaty in place first before they unleash the next pandemic. And that's where we're right on the verge of this WHO, quote, treaty being signed and implemented. It's just right around the corner, perhaps weeks away. And once this is done, the pandemic will be just immediately after that, the next pandemic. And then, of course, the next round of so-called vaccines, which you can bet the drug companies are already making them. I mean, this whole thing is orchestrated, folks. They've already got the patents. They're making the vaccines, getting ready to have the inventory so that when the government rolls out the new pandemic, the new bioweapon, and they order everybody to get the vaccines. Well, what do you know? The vaccines are going to be available. How did that happen magically overnight? What an amazing coincidence. And then they'll use the whole thing, of course, as a weapon against freedom of speech. You know, just like Google says, oh, we're going to delist your entire domain if you spread, quote, misinformation or disinformation, which is anything that Pfizer doesn't like. In other words, if you're pro-human, then Google will delist you. So this is where it's all headed. And this is why it's extremely dangerous. In fact, this is shaping up to be the biggest crime against humanity, far outpacing the Nazi regime, the mass murder of 6 million Jews in World War II. This is going to dwarf everything that has ever been seen in terms of democide and government violence against the people. This is going to be planetary scale ethnic cleansing of the human race is what this is. And yes, there are non-human influences behind this. And we've talked about some of that before. We've had some guests on who talked about that as well. Non-human influences pushing the, quote, leaders of the world to carry out ethnic cleansing against the human race. The pandemic is the tool. The vaccines are the weapon. The media is the brainwashing push. And then, if necessary, they'll use police or military for the final kinetic push to put a gun in your face and stick a needle in your arm and exterminate you. And if you resist, then they'll just arrest you and throw you in a death camp and exterminate you that way. So we're about to see a massive ramping up of this entire operation. So anybody who thinks this is not possible, you should rewind your own consciousness about 3 years, because you probably didn't think that what we already lived through was possible. If you heard me or other independent media people like Steve Quayle and others talking about, hey, they're going to launch a pandemic, they're going to use it to weaponize vaccines, they're going to demand vaccines, they're going to lock people down, they're going to have food shortages and economic destruction and so on, because we warned about these things before COVID. I mean, on the record, you know, I gave that whole speech called The Oblivion Agenda in 2019, late 2019 in Branson, Missouri, with Steve Quayle. It was his event. He invited me to speak. I gave a one-hour presentation. It's on Brighteon.com if you want to watch it. This was all pre-COVID, where I predicted accurately that they would use biological weapons to achieve global depopulation across planet Earth. It's all right there in the presentation. So to those people who don't think this is possible, think again. You've already lived through a scene or a scenario that you thought wasn't possible, and now it's about to get much worse. But if you're wondering what the real goal is here, it's rather obvious. The goal is to eliminate the human race from planet Earth, because the planet has valuable resources that are coveted by non-human entities or species or civilizations. You know, the liquid water on Earth, the biodiversity, the axial tilt of the planet, the distance from the sun, the relative safety of Earth, including our magnetosphere that protects us from a lot of ionizing radiation, for example. The fact that we have a lot of rare earth minerals on the planet, and many other factors, by the way, the location in the Milky Way on one of the spiral arms, you know, the fact that we have an orbiting satellite moon, which can be used for observation and planetary defense and so on, even as a kind of a relay base. The fact that we have a very nice, friendly sun relative to other stars in the universe. And these are all factors that any intelligent species in the universe would value, that is, properties of life. And so this explains why so many of the world leaders today, you know, the WEF lunatics and so on, they either look like demons or like aliens or something. They don't look human. They don't look like you and I. They don't have like regular human empathy or compassion or even human reason or logic or anything. They're not really functioning as humans because that's not who they are. And they've been given kill quotas. So the leader of every nation on planet Earth has been given a kill quota. And I would imagine those kill quotas are around 80 to 90%, something in that range. And they're told that, yeah, you're going to have to find a way to kill off this many people in your country, because if you don't, then we're going to do it for you. And so some of these world leaders think that, killing people with vaccines is a form of compassion. They actually think like this is the nicer way to get rid of their populations and hit their kill quotas, you know, the depopulation targets. And they know that if they don't meet those targets, then they get eliminated. So the order has come down from non-human origins to all the world leaders: eliminate humanity. And if they don't, they themselves will be eliminated. So that explains everything. Once you understand this basic concept, you realize it suddenly all makes sense. Why are they shutting down the food infrastructure? Because they want to starve people. Why are they shutting off energy, you know, under the guise of climate change? Well, because they want to crush human, you know, economic activity and human civilization. Why are they releasing toxic chemical weapons in East Ohio, you know, dioxin fallout over tens of thousands of farms? Why? Well, because those cause infertility, by the way, and cancers and accelerated early deaths and so on, which is also what mRNA injections tend to cause. It's all related. It's all the same plan. These are not coincidences. You know, you turn on alternative media every single day, something else is on fire, right? I mean, another food manufacturing facility is being burned down, another train wreck, another chemical spill, you know, another coal-fired power plant taken offline and not replaced. Even the Wall Street Journal did a whole story on this. The editorial board of the WSJ, they published a piece that said, yeah, 13 states, 65 million people are about to have a non-functioning power grid because all the coal and fossil fuels are being taken offline and they're not being replaced by anything. They're dismantling America, and they're dismantling Western Europe too, by the way. The kill quotas are being followed. You understand? And frankly, I think the kill quotas will be partially effective. There will be billions dead, probably, over the next few years. Now, they're not going to kill everybody. We've been over this before. You know, people like you and I are hard to kill. But there are billions of people who are, from the point of view of globalists, incredibly easy for them to kill. And that's who they're targeting with all this: the low-hanging fruit of depopulation. So look at the world through this accurate lens, the lens of globalist depopulation and planetary-scale extermination of the human race, massive species cleansing. I mean, beyond ethnic cleansing, frankly, it's species cleansing on a cosmic scale to eliminate planet Earth. Once you understand that, everything that you see in the media, every announcement, every war, every false flag, everything suddenly makes sense. Everything. So pay attention, because the globalists are telling you what they're planning on doing. They're walking you through their blueprint. It's going to be a WHO medical dictatorship. It's going to be another pandemic. It's going to be another vaccine mandate, lockdown mandates. It's going to be weaponization of the restrictions. And then in the end, massive global depopulation by the billions. That's what's coming. It's as clear as day. They're practically telling you that this is their plan. I mean, they are. They're just advertising it every single day. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com.
Come on, Rody. Come on. Allow me to explain. Self-washing dog. Come here, Rody. Come here. Yeah, you just... That's the soap. Okay, you ready? Yep. Go get it. This is the rinse cycle. Yeah. Did you get it? All right, rinse off. Okay, hey. Hey! Oh, gosh. Okay, one more rinse cycle. One more rinse cycle. Go get it. Rinse off. Rinse off, Rody. That's right. Just rinse. Okay, one more rinse cycle. Good boy. Good boy. Here, let's make sure all that's off. There we go. The final rinse cycle. Easiest way to shampoo a dog ever. Okay, all right. right, welcome to another Prep with Mike video segment, and today I'm going to show you how I take ivermectin. Now, a big disclaimer on this is I'm taking agricultural ivermectin, which I purchase over the counter for my farm animals, my donkeys and dogs and goats and chickens and so on. And this is called Noromectin. That's the actual brand name. But I do want to be clear that the Noromectin company only labels this for agricultural use, not for use in humans. However, it's the same molecule. It's ivermectin. This is in a 1% solution. And the other disclaimer is, of course, I'm not your doctor, and don't consider this to be medical advice. You should consult with a competent physician or naturopathic physician about whether ivermectin is right for you or how much to take or how long to take it or what your symptoms are and so on. Don't rely on this video as a medical diagnosis or a treatment, a piece of advice of any kind. I'm just showing you what I do and how I take ivermectin. So this is my daily smoothie here, which I have in the studio every day. This is my avocado, banana, whey protein, flax seeds. I have broccoli sprout powder in here, which is actually one of the products that, actually, here it is. It's one of the products that we sell here, broccoli sprout powder, because that has the sulforaphane and the indole-3-carbinol and everything, and turmeric. That's what makes this thing orange. So I put turmeric powder in there, broccoli seeds, and you know, a bunch of other stuff. And it's quite delicious with the bananas and the avocados. I really like it. And so then I use a pipette. Now, what you need to understand about these pipettes are very inexpensive. And this is a 1,000 microliter volume pipette. And the way they work is you use your thumb and you push on the end here, and it takes up a certain volume of liquid into the pipette tip. And these tips are, of course, replaceable. So you can buy a bunch of tips. But if you want a very inexpensive pipette, the brand is Microlit. And you can find those online. They're very inexpensive. I think this was, I don't know, $75, which, by the way, believe me, that's cheap for these. In the lab, when we have like NIST traceable pipettes, those are $300. So you can find cheaper ones like this online. And then using this knob up here, let's see if I can show you this. Using this knob, you change the volume, which you can read in the numbers here, the volume that it's about to take up. So I'm changing it to 800, which means 800 microliters. If it shows 1,000, that's 1 milliliter, which is 1,000 microliters. Now, again, try not to get confused about this, but it is, you know, the metric system for volume and so on. But I've decided, again, you have to make up your own decision. Now, I've decided to take 1.6 milliliters, which is 1,600 microliters. And I've decided, again, not medical advice to you, but for me, that's the right dosage that I choose to take because I believe in health freedom. And I have been taking ivermectin very effectively since, well, I don't know, since early COVID. And I credit ivermectin with saving not only myself from, you know, a lot of symptoms and sickness, but also I've seen many other people use ivermectin very effectively. Again, you got to decide for yourself, talk to your doctor. But for me, oh, and the other disclaimer, of course, this brand is not labeled for human use, but I choose to use it myself. I've given it to my dogs and my donkeys and my goats and chickens. So I'm going to take 1.6 milliliters, which again is 1,600 microliters, because that's equivalent to 16 milligrams of total dosage of ivermectin, which I've decided is the right dosage for me. So I'm taking up a volume here. That's 800 microliters. I pop it into my smoothie right there. And then I'm going to do that a second time. Another 800 microliters. Boom. Pop that into the smoothie. I now have 1,600 microliters or 1.6 milliliters of a 1% ivermectin solution in my smoothie that is labeled for animal use. And then I just mix this up in my smoothie. There's my lid. Mix it up in my smoothie. Just to swish it around in there. And by the way, check with your doctor or naturopath about what the right dosage might be. And they'll probably try to sell you, you know, prescription ivermectin, which is about 100 times more expensive than this. So one of the reasons I do this is because it's dirt cheap. This whole bottle is about $100, And we could do the math on how many total grams of ivermectin it contains, but it's a lot. That dosage right there that I'm taking, again, only 1.6 milliliters, and this whole bottle is what? It's 500 milliliters in this bottle. So I'm having a very inexpensive dose of ivermectin. And I just want to show you on camera, yes, of course I'm drinking this. In fact, that smoothie is super delicious. And the ivermectin in a smoothie like this is essentially tasteless. So that's what I do, and I'm going to drink that over the next hour or so. So I'll have 16 milligrams of ivermectin in my body, you know, fighting parasites and SARS-CoV-2 and whatever else. So that's what I do. And again, I don't need a prescription to do that. And I've decided to do it on my own. Whether you need a prescription, that's up to you. That's your choice. But I just want to say, what I just showed you, of course, is not FDA approved because it doesn't profit the drug companies. And in fact, the drug companies, the vaccine makers, are buying up the generic manufacturers of ivermectin in India. They're buying them up so they can shut them down because they don't want you to do what I just did. Oh, and by the way, just for the attorneys at the Noromectin company, you don't have to bother contacting me. I'm not recommending that other people take this for human consumption, and nor is this company making that claim. Again, agricultural use, but you can buy it online and you can use it agriculturally, or you know, you can decide what you wish to do. This is what I'm choosing to do with this molecule. And I've done this, I don't know, dozens of times, probably, maybe more, since the whole COVID, you know, pandemic began. So that's my Prep with Mike video today. Definitely get professional medical advice from your naturopathic physician. And, you know, don't take this as medical advice. Just want to be clear. I know I've given that disclaimer like five times, but I don't want people claiming that I told everybody to go out and chug this stuff. Not at all. And if you don't know how to use a pipette, by the way, I just showed you, and it's really important to know what a pipette is, how to dial in the volume you want, and how to use it effectively, because we may be in a collapse scenario. The medicine supply is likely to be cut off. You may be required to practice ditch medicine, in a sense, or emergency medicine. You need to know how to dispense an accurate volume of material, whether it's ivermectin or something else. So get yourself some pipettes and some pipette tips. Learn how to use them. You can practice with water. It's very easy. And watch more videos of my Prep with Mike series at prepwithmike.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger of naturalnews.com and the free speech video platform, brighteon.com. Thank you for watching. Take care. All right, we have breaking news out of Europe. The German defense minister has just announced that Germany is incapable of defending itself in a war against Russia. Or, in fact, a war against anyone. He basically just said, and this is a very close paraphrase, but he said that Germany is absolutely incapable of defending itself against any wartime aggressor, that Germany does not have the troops, the equipment, the munitions to even defend itself, much less go on the offense and attack some other nation. So this is it for Western Europe. In terms of any delusions that NATO could defeat Russia and destroy Russia, Germany has no military that, you know, that's really effective and can function. The UK has already previously been revealed as having a military that's it's nothing. It would last literally a week or a few days against Russia with its current size and munitions inventory and so on. France, I mean, are you kidding me? The French don't really have a military. Poland is about the only country that's got any kind of potentially sizable military. And they're trying to grow it to a few hundred thousand troops, I think, by the year 2030 or something like that. But right now, they don't have much. They're committing to growing their military. Not that that will matter in the coming months in the world war with Russia, right? So who's going to fight Russia? Is Austria going to fight? No. Is Spain going to fight? No. Who's going to fight Russia? Is Ukraine? Well, I mean, Ukraine has been fighting Russia, but only because the West has been sending in all these munitions and equipment and drones and artillery, and the West has run out. The West has run out, and frankly, Ukraine is running out of men.
because that's what's been thrown at Russia right now is Ukrainian men and Western munitions. And both of those are just about out of supply, sadly. And so all this begs the question, what is NATO going to do to stop Russia once Russia breaks out of the Donbass region? Because Bakhmut is about to fall. And after Bakhmut, you know, it's a straight line west across Ukraine. Russia will be out of the more rugged terrain. And it's tank country. It's like open tank country for a lot of Western Ukraine. And Russia can go all the way to the Dnieper River and cross it and keep going west if it wants to. I don't think that they want to, but they could. Frankly, at this point, Russia could go all the way to London and just take all that territory if they chose to, or just wipe out NATO if they chose to, and wipe out NATO capitals, wipe out NATO nations if they chose to. There's literally nothing stopping them. Other than, I suppose, the threat of the West launching nuclear weapons. But Russia has more nukes, better nukes, faster nukes, hypersonic missiles. And as Scott Ritter told me in an interview the other day, Russia's got the S-500 anti-air and anti-ICBM defense systems that the West doesn't have. So Russia has better defenses against missiles and better offensive missiles and better artillery and more troops and more men and more munitions than all the Western European nations combined, plus America combined. That's what's shocking in all of this. And the West keeps demanding war. You know, because the West is run by insane woke lunatics in the State Department, in the Pentagon, you know the story, on and on. The West has no idea what is about to happen because NATO is about to be defeated by Russia. And do you realize what that will do to the world perception of the power of the petrodollar? When NATO is defeated by Russia, which will likely happen this year, you know, maybe by the end of the year, but Russia is going to completely defeat the key power positions of NATO. It's going to show the world that NATO is a paper tiger. And again, when that happens, what will the Middle East think of the petrodollar? If they even think much of it now, what will Africa think of the petrodollar, or Central and South America, or Southeastern Asian nations, or India, or Turkey for that matter? What will they think of the petrodollar? Well, the petrodollar is a fake fiat currency backed by a lying, dishonest, imperialistic regime that can't even defend itself against one country, Russia. That's the realization that's coming. And I assure you that when that day comes, the dollar will be abandoned globally. The dollar will collapse in terms of the global perception. Now, it might take a little more time to collapse domestically in the United States, but once the world loses faith in the dollar, how will the U.S. continue to sell dollar debt to the rest of the world? And the answer is they won't. You know, the answer is that the oil producers of the world, Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Iran, and so on, will sell oil in currencies other than the dollar. And folks, the West as we know it is done. The West as we know it has already been ripped apart by the woke culture wars and the green cultist wars, taking down the economy, taking down the culture, destroying the labor pool, you know, indoctrinating the children into thinking that they should never have to work ever again. There's no labor pool that's really functional in America and many Western nations. The West has lost its manufacturing, its industry. You know, Ross Perot was right. That giant sucking sound has already kicked in. The manufacturing has left America. It's gone. There's no coming back from this. Look, we're ruled by an authoritarian regime that colludes with big tech to censor dissenting views. Woody Harrelson was right when he said that we don't live in a free country anymore. You're not allowed to talk about the truth about vaccines or big pharma or depopulation agendas. The elections are rigged. The news is fake. The currency is fiat. And the war is already lost, folks. World War III is already lost by the West. There is no victory against Russia. There's no victory. You can't beat Russia kinetically. They have superior artillery and missiles and so on. Even superior tanks and fighters. You can't beat Russia economically. That's already been tried. Shutting them off from the SWIFT system. You know, putting price caps on their oil exports. Seizing hundreds of billions of dollars in their central bank deposits. You know, every act of warfare against them has been tried economically. Even destroying the Gazprom Nord Stream pipelines to try to deprive Russia of revenue. Everything has been tried. And it's not working. It doesn't work. Oh, propaganda has been tried. You know, the propaganda war, the disinformation war, the info war that's being waged by the West. That's not winning either. Everything has been tried. Infiltration, sabotage, CIA operations, cyber warfare, you name it. It's all been tried. And Russia is still standing and stronger than ever while the West keeps getting weaker and weaker. No munitions, no labor pool, no education system that's functioning, no reason or rationality, no population growth that's sustainable. The whole industry of science and medicine has been completely demolished. The media is nothing but CIA propagandists and script readers who lie to the public. You know, the university system is filled with just woke idiots. The State Department is a bunch of anti-Russian ethnic haters and genocidal lunatics. It's just on and on. The West is done. Now we're just living through the decline. That's all we're doing, folks. We're living through the decline and watching for when the reset happens. And we don't know, but it will all come down. The government, the currency, trade, the economy, the power grid, the military, it will all come crashing down like the end of the Roman Empire. And it's going to be hell to live through. And a lot of people are going to lose everything, and hundreds of millions will probably lose their lives. But this is the reality of what we're facing. So to summarize, Germany declaring that they can't defend themselves against Russia or anyone, really. There's no Western military force in Western Europe that can defend Western Europe against Russia. Doesn't exist. The U.S. military can barely function, can't even recruit soldiers. And, you know, frankly, a lot of the younger ones are just living on junk foods and processed foods and can barely function in the military. There's no industrial base. The weapon systems are decades outdated. Even the ICBMs, even the anti-tank systems, even the air-to-air missiles are decades outdated. The F-35 barely functions. I mean, it's a joke. The aircraft carriers have all kinds of propulsion problems and, you know, nuclear power plant problems and elevator problems. It's all a joke. It's a woke joke because the woke people keep getting put up into the high positions to design and build and engineer everything, and they have no clue what they're doing. And so we've become a joke, a woke, broke joke is what the West has become. That's the reality. We're just going to have to deal with it and try to live through it. So Ford has a patent where if you don't make your car payment, they can remotely disable your vehicle. And of course, they're going to roll this out across all their vehicles because Ford is a woke globalist corporation that despises humanity and wants to enslave everybody. This is the perfect way for them to do that. Now, they say in the patent that it's going to be linked to financing and, you know, banks and so on. And that what it's really about is halting the use of vehicles that people aren't paying for. But you and I both know the truth about this. This kind of system is going to be used it's going to be weaponized to turn off the vehicles of people who are making their payments, but people for whom the government doesn't want mobility. And it can also be used to initiate a kind of martial law, a kind of lockdown, if you will. They can lock down all the vehicles that have been, quote, modernized with this remote check-in technology where the vehicle is commanded by the corporation remotely, which, by the way, this is already in place with Tesla vehicles. So the Tesla company can send out an order right now to all Tesla vehicles to halt all operations. And the government can simply order Tesla to do that, or they can order it in a certain area even. They can say, oh, we don't want anybody to evacuate this area. We don't want anybody to have mobility. Maybe one day they build a wall around Los Angeles because they're trying to prevent people from leaving, you know, trying to stop the fleeing. And so they build a wall, and then they can disable your vehicle if you exit a certain perimeter. Like, you're only allowed to drive within this prison camp area where they have total control and total surveillance and so on. So Ford wants to be part of that too, see? Because again, Ford is an evil, woke, globalist corporation that's interested in mass enslavement of humanity. So don't buy Ford vehicles, obviously. And not only that, but their EV Lightning truck totally sucks. It's an EV truck that doesn't tow anything, and it barely goes anywhere, and you'll waste hours, if not days of your life, trying to charge that thing, and then the batteries will become useless after a few years. I mean, what a nightmare. They should just call it the EV Nightmare truck. That's more accurate than Lightning. But in any case, this idea is going to spread to a lot of other car companies. And, you know, the, what's it called, OnStar, that system can also remotely disable vehicles, and that's been in place for many years. So if you buy a new vehicle, don't turn on the OnStar system unless you really want to use it. But if you buy a vehicle, and if you put it in your name, and you activate OnStar, then frankly, the government can order OnStar to disable your vehicle. And they can do this in cases that you might not have thought about. For example, a mom who wants to protect her children from being vaccinated, or to protect them from transgender mutilation surgery, or often in that case, it's the dad protecting the children from a woke mom that wants mutilation surgery. Or the other way is a mom protecting kids from a pro-vaccine dad who wants to have the kids vaccinated. So the mom is taking the children, saving their lives, driving them away from the dad, and then she can be accused of kidnapping, and they can disable her vehicle. They can get the location via GPS through the OnStar system, and they can dispatch police to come medically kidnap the children and force them to be vaccinated. So one more reason not to own one of these vehicles that tracks your location and turns over its operations to a corporation. Now, electric vehicles in general are a kind of a prison cage. Electric vehicles don't have much range, and they can turn off the grid where you're charging them. They can just say, we won't allow you to charge your EV. They can turn off your electricity at home. They could selectively turn off your electricity at a charging station. If you enter, you know, you put in your credit card as, oh, it's you. You're not allowed to buy electricity, especially if you have a low ESG score. You know what that is, right? ESG score, environmental, social governance. Yeah, if you speak out against transgenderism, mutilation of children, or if you're opposed to World War III, or if you're opposed to election rigging, or all these other things, if you're anti-vaccine, whatever, they can say, well, you're not allowed to use your credit card for these types of purchases. You're just going to have to live in a 20-minute city, which means it's a city where you have to, you can walk everywhere in 20 minutes, and you're not allowed to have a vehicle, you see. And also, by the way, you won't be allowed to purchase ammo or firearms either. Because, you see, vehicles are a form of freedom. And the combustion engine, especially, is a form of freedom. Because you can go to any gas station, and you can buy gas, or you can buy diesel. You can even put diesel in containers. You can store it up. You can store up enough diesel to have 10,000 miles of range, if you wish. And you can carry it in the back of your truck, if you wish. And using that, you can actually have very long range and a sense of freedom, which, you know, EV owners don't necessarily have. So you see, the war against combustion engine vehicles is not really about climate. They pretend it is, but it's not. It's about control. They want to be able to control you, and an EV gives them the ability to do that. It limits your range, limits your charging, and also, by the way, if the power grid is down, which they can turn off, then you have no options. You can't charge, you can't go, and you can't carry around an extra battery pack that would power your vehicle. Doesn't work that way. If anything, you might have to carry around an extra gasoline generator to plug it into your vehicle to charge it, but that gasoline generator would have to be large, you know, quite massive, in order to charge your vehicle in any kind of a timely manner. Hence the need to just have a combustion engine under the hood. And that gives you freedom. It's very difficult for tyrannical regimes to interfere with. Now, there's another problem with electric vehicles that a lot of people haven't thought about, but I covered this years ago. Electromagnetic pollution. When you're sitting in an EV, you're inside a massive, massive amount of electromagnetic pollution from all four wheels. Typically, that's the way it is in most of these vehicles. Each wheel has a powerful motor, and a lot of energy is being pushed to each of those motors in order to accelerate the vehicle or to maintain current speed. This causes you to be sitting inside a powerful, giant electromagnetic field. And we know that these EMFs, as they're called, at least with high-voltage power lines, EMFs have been linked to things like, well, brain cancer. And we don't have decades of data of people riding inside powerful EMF fields in their vehicles. So nobody knows the long-term health consequences of this. There haven't been studies that have been done on this, and the cars haven't even been around long enough to see what happens. So you're a guinea pig. If you ride in an electric vehicle, you're a guinea pig. And I know some people listening to this have EVs, and some people even like them, but you're rolling the dice on your health with this. Unknown consequences, unknown long-term health effects, and of course, it can be shut off by order of a corrupt government. So it's the antithesis of freedom. So a combustion engine is far more compatible with freedom and mobility and resistance against regimes that are trying to control you. Just make sure you have a vehicle that can't be remotely shut off with something like the OnStar system. And that's critical to understand. Even more, if you purchase a vehicle, have it titled to the name of perhaps a company that you have instead of your own personal name. That's one step removed from you personally. Makes it more difficult for people to find out what vehicle you may be driving in case they want to take away your freedom. Or maybe they want to medically kidnap you or your children. Don't make it easier for them to find you. Now, let's talk about quickly the difference between gas and diesel engines. I'm an advocate of diesel for a number of reasons. Let me relay them to you here. Number one, diesel stores far longer as a fuel. I've got 10-year-old diesel that I'm still using in certain pieces of equipment, and it's working fine. Now, yes, I add some, you know, additives to it, some long-term storage additives, a biocide that kills bacteria, some anti-sludge additives and things like that, but you can make it store a decade. I'm not saying that that would be, you know, the best fuel. Probably you'd want to use it in less than 5 years, but in a pinch, you can use diesel 10 years later. Whereas gasoline, forget it. It will only last a year or two. And secondly, gasoline is far more dangerous to store. Gasoline vapors, if you don't have, let's say, containers that are well sealed, you're emitting vapors from gasoline, especially in an enclosed space like a garage, and you've just created a fuel air explosive. One spark and boom, your whole garage goes up. Diesel fumes don't ignite that way. Diesel is hard to ignite. In fact, and I'm not recommending that you do this, but if you pour diesel into a cup and try to light it with a match, it won't light. Diesel's very difficult to combust. And diesel engines don't even work with spark plugs, by the way. They work by compressing the diesel until it self-combusts. And it takes a tremendous amount of pressure to do that. So diesel is safer. And if you're in an accident and diesel spills out, it's a lot less likely to ignite compared to gasoline. So there are car wrecks, and some of you who are first responders, you know this very well. There are car wrecks where gasoline spills out, and then there's a spark. You know, this is not just Hollywood. This happens in real life. And then an entire vehicle can be engulfed in flame, sometimes when the person is trapped inside. So a diesel typically will not do that because, again, the diesel fuel is much more difficult to ignite, which also means that traveling with extra diesel fuel is safer than traveling with gasoline, by far. I don't want to have a 5-gallon, tank of gasoline in my vehicle, what if something goes wrong? What if there is a spark or static electricity discharge? I'd much rather have 5 gallons of diesel. And since diesel gets better gas mileage than gasoline, 5 gallons of diesel will take your vehicle much farther than 5 gallons of gas. Did you know that? Diesel gets much better gas mileage. There's actually more energy in diesel per gallon or per liter than there is in gasoline. So it's a much better fuel for this purpose, and diesel engines last longer than gasoline engines. I know they cost more, but they last a lot longer. So you'll be able to hold on to that vehicle for, perhaps a couple of decades instead of just 5 years or what have you. So diesel makes sense, and there are a lot of diesel trucks out there that are available, and some diesel SUVs or diesel passenger cars that are widely available at this point, and they're relatively easy to get. And by the way, even if there's an attempt to shut down consumer mobility or citizen mobility, they would focus on shutting off gasoline because that would affect most drivers. But they would never shut off diesel entirely because that's what drives the whole economy. No diesel, you have no country. No diesel means no trains, no barges, no trucks, no transportation, no food, no groceries, no military equipment, no tanks. Well, not all tanks run on diesel, but the Abrams runs on jet fuel for some reason. That's insane. But most military equipment runs on diesel. So they have to keep diesel available in the system, or you don't even have a country. You go into a Mad Max collapse. So diesel will be easier to get, or could be easier to get in a collapse scenario if the government's trying to crack down on gasoline. So keep all these things in mind. These are important factors that can make a huge difference in your ability to maintain your privacy, your freedom, your resilience, your ability to bug out in an emergency. What if you're trying to bug out in some kind of, Ford vehicle with the kill switch, and then the government orders Ford to just stop everybody from bugging out? Stop all bug out vehicles, right? Boom, all of a sudden you're dead in the water, maybe stuck on an on-ramp or something, stuck on the highway, your vehicle won't start, even though you paid for it. Ford can just turn it off. And would they? Well, of course they would. What do you think Ford stands for? Found on road dead. F-O-R-D. And that's what you're going to be facing if you buy one of their vehicles and they turn it off in the middle of a crisis. So don't buy Ford. Don't support woke globalist corporations. They're evil. They're anti-human. They work for Satan. They want to make your life as difficult as possible, and they probably wouldn't mind stranding you on the highway in the middle of a Mad Max collapse scenario where you're likely to be looted and raped and have your vehicle set on fire by gangs, for example. So keep all this in mind, folks. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. Take care. All right, for today's show-and-tell demonstration here at the Brighteon Studios, I'm going to be showing you a little physics experiment, kind of a teaching aid. It's called Euler's Disk. And this shows you the conservation of momentum. Now, if you could go to camera one, I want you to see this. This is the disk right here. And I want you to see there are no batteries or anything, and there's nothing magical about this little tray that it sits on. It's like a thin little plastic tray with kind of a mirror on it. And yet, what you're going to discover from this as we spin it is something rather phenomenal about conservation of momentum and also the action known as spooling or precession. So I'm going to spin this, and I want you to ask yourself a question. How long do you think that this will spin for? So take a look. It's kind of starting to fall, and it's going into an action called spooling, which means spinning and rolling together. And it's also called precession, and you can probably hear it. And you would think that it would have already stopped by now, but no, it continues. This is a really interesting experiment. Again, no batteries, no external electricity. It's just using the power of momentum from the original spin to demonstrate this really important, property of, frankly, straight up Newtonian physics here is what we're looking at. Still going.
still going, yeah? It's like, how long is this going to go? You would think it has some kind of other energy source, or like there's secret wires under the table or something. Nope. This is just straight up physics here, folks. The momentum energy plus gravity, that's it. Still going. Let's see if I can get the mic on it. And it has stopped. Okay. Yeah, pretty interesting little toy, but also a great demonstration. And since we live in a world where very few people understand the laws of physics or chemistry, as we saw recently when I think the governor of Ohio decided to ignite maybe 1 million gallons of vinyl chloride because he doesn't understand chemistry, the cost of not being literate in science can be very high to society. And that's why it's great that we learn these things and demonstrate these things. So this can make a great little gift for you. I picked it up because I just wanted you to see this. I think it's, you know, the natural world around us is mesmerizing all by itself. I mean, it's almost hypnotic to see what this thing does, and not even spinning it with a lot of force, you know? It's kind of hypnotic, kind of cool, but let's just watch it go one more time.
Wild. And here's the box, if you please. Euler's disc is what this is called. People are going to think that this has been video edited or something, so maybe I should not work on a Rubik's Cube here at the same time. People know it's not fake. There we go. How about that? This is real time, folks. No batteries required. And there we go, done.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that, folks. Euler's disc, check it out, get it as a gift for kids, grandkids, anybody that's interested in real science. Thanks for watching, Mike Adams here. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.